This episode contains graphic details of murder and other crimes. Listener discretion is advised. Everyone, and welcome back to Not Always Polite. I hope you guys have had a great week so far. Today I have an unsolved murder case for you guys. It is sometimes referred as the 8-Day Bride, which I think is kind of like spooky. But this is also the... Oh my god, this fucking dog. Every time I try to do this, somebody's making a noise. Somebody's eating something so loud, always. And I don't know why... I never learn. I've been doing this for 2 years and I still, this happens every time. As I was saying, this is the unsolved murder of Christina Cecilia Machen. We're going to go with Machen. So Christina was born in Toronto, Ontario on August 7th, 1925 to Casimir and Mary Machen, who were Polish immigrants and devout Roman Catholics. At the age of 21, Christina was a bank worker who had been dating 26-year-old Army veteran John Ray Kettlewell, who was nicknamed Jack, for 3 years. So this relationship was frowned upon by Christina's family for many reasons. Initially, it was Christina's father, who, like I said, was a Polish immigrant, who was strongly against Jack because he wasn't Roman Catholic. But Jack was like, hey, no prob, and he converted to the religion. But the family was like, no, not good enough, because apparently they had a bad feeling about his lifelong friend and roommate, 28-year-old Ronald Berry. So Ronald Berry was an immigrant from Northern Italy. He had a bunch of different careers, including construction, insurance. He was a professional ballroom dancer and hairdresser at different times. So the Machens felt Ronald was overbearing. The amount of time he would spend with the couple made the family really uneasy, and they even believed that Ronald was in love with Christina. What unsettled them even more was the fact that Ronald would later accompany Christina and Jack on their honeymoon. So, needless to say, the family's plans to keep Christina away from Jack and Ronald were not successful. Instead, Christina, being love-struck, she just stopped going home. Christina and Jack eloped and were secretly married on May 12, 1947. Neither family attended the wedding, but mere hours before it was to happen, Christina's sister showed up at the apartment she'd been staying at in Mimico and tried to convince her not to marry Jack. This caused an argument to break out, and the police were called by neighbors, causing the sisters to leave the scene. After the wedding, the newlyweds spent a few days in Jack and Ronald's apartment before going out to the cabin Ronald owned in Severn Falls on May 17th. The cottage was about 2 hours away from where they were living in Mimico and was only accessible by boat. It is reported that when the three reached the cottage, Christina became moody, having crying spells and even becoming unresponsive or dazed at times. She would ask Ronald about if Jack really loved her and different things about their relationship. 3 days later, on May 20th, Ronald left Christina and Jack at the cabin to go sunbathing. When he returned at 6:30 p.m., he was met with the cabin going up in flames. Ronald ran into the cabin looking for the two, and he found Jack bleeding from a head injury and was dazed. He dragged Jack out of the burning cottage and went back in to try to find Christina, but he later emerged alone. He couldn't find her. Ronald notified neighbors, who tried to help by putting out the blaze while he took Jack to the hospital. The cabin burned to the ground in just an hour. It was at 10 p.m. that a neighbor found Christina's lifeless body, still in her pajamas, in just 9 inches of water on the bank of the Severn River, about 150 feet from the cottage. Jack was treated at the hospital for the head injury, burns, as well as shock. Blood test results showed a large amount of codeine in his system. Upon his release, Jack was questioned by police for over 3 hours, but he was not able to remember anything past 11 a.m. the morning of the fire. An autopsy later determined Christina had not been physically assaulted, and there were no signs of burns on her body or smoke damage to her lungs. Blood tests revealed traced amounts of codeine in her system, which is the same drug that was found during Jack's tests. The autopsy concluded Christina's cause of death was by drowning. The police questioned Ronald for 13 hours, and he wrote 2 statements, one over 3,000 words long, and the police found it to be, quote, fantastic with the level of detail he could provide on the day. However, like the family, the police were suspicious of how close Ronald was to the couple. Ronald was vehement that he did not want to accompany the company. Did not want to accompany the couple on their honeymoon, but had done so out of convenience of driving them to the cabin. The police even theorized that Ronald had somehow arranged the marriage, which to Ronald was absurd. Christina's funeral took place on May 26th in the same church she had gotten married in just 2 weeks earlier. This is why the case is sometimes referred to as the 8-Day Bride. On June 19th, 1947, an inquest began in a packed courtroom in Bracebridge, Ontario, to try to uncover the truth about what happened to Christina. But to this day, her death has yet to be fully explained. So there are 2 main theories surrounding Christina's death: murder and suicide. The suicide theory is widely believed, and I'll explain why. At the inquest into Christina's death, Ronald said not longer after the trio arrived at the cottage, she became, quote, moody and emotional. Christina apparently went back and forth between crying uncontrollably and being uncommunicative. Ronald reported that she repeatedly asked him if he thought Jack really loved her, showing that she was unsure about where she stood with her new husband. If that's true, it could be an indication that Christina was experiencing mental health issues. But it's important to note that we only have Ronald's word that Christina was acting erratically. Ronald claimed that he kept her odd behavior from Jack because he didn't want to ruin their honeymoon. Also during the inquest, Ronald presented 3 letters as evidence Christina was both suicidal and murderous. The first letter was addressed to Ronald and dated April 6th, which was Easter Sunday, around 5 weeks before the wedding. Christina allegedly wrote that she attempted suicide by poisoning, explaining, quote, "This will be the best way out, as I cannot bear the thought of another girl having him." The second letter was also written to Ronald and was written shortly after Jack proposed. In this letter, Christina said she tried to kill herself and Jack by poisoning their food. She wrote, quote, "When you love someone, you really love him. And I know there was no one for me but Jack. And if I cannot have him, I don't intend on anyone else to. As you might say, I waited in the hope that Jack would ask me to marry him. But now I realize I might just be a passing fancy. Interestingly, at the inquest, Jack recalled feeling ill around the time that the letter was written. So it is possible that she actually did try to poison them, like her and Jack. The third letter was addressed to a woman named Mrs. Thomas. She was the landlady of the apartment Christina stayed in for a little bit before the 3 of them went to the cottage. Ronald said Christina gave him the letter to mail the day before she died. A section of the letter reads, quote, "Ronnie is in the boat outside somewhere. By the time he gets back, everything will be all over with. He must be afraid something would happen because he is staying an extra day to make sure we go back to Toronto with him." If these letters are authentic, could they indicate Christina was indeed suicidal as well as capable of murder? Yes, but this is just what Ronald is saying. He could have made this shit up. I feel like Ronald is sus, but we'll get into that. So, at the inquest, a handwriting expert confirmed the letters were written by Christina. However, this is not ironclad evidence. The reliability of forensic handwriting analysis has been recently called into question, with some experts even considering it pseudoscience. In 2019, researchers looked into forensic handwriting analysis and found, quote, "Although this form of evidence has been used in courts for a long time, its standing evidence is relatively weak. Although it is based on expert opinion and practice, it's less reliable than other forms of evidence based on scientific knowledge." Overall, Christina writing the letters is a difficult story for me to buy. It all comes down to Ronald's credibility. During the inquest, Ronald's credibility was called into question when his story changed substantially. He initially told the police that he found Jack alone in the cottage, got him to safety, searched for Christina, but failed to find her. In his revised statement, Ronald claimed that when he entered the burning cottage, he found Christina beside Jack. She was crying, and when she refused to respond or leave the cottage, Ronald dragged Jack outside. About 15 minutes later, when smoke started billowing from the kitchen door, Ronald re-entered the cottage to save Christina, but she was gone. This account conveniently makes Christina look guilty, but it's drastically different from every other report Ronald gave of the incident. C.P. Hope, the special crown counsel at the inquest into Christina's death, left little doubt as to how he felt about Ronald's truthfulness. He called Ronald, quote, a liar of the most blatant kind, whose sinister figure permeates the whole of this tragedy, but whose purpose and design are shrouded in mystery. Tell us how you really feel. Now, I personally am more inclined to lean towards the murder theory, and we'll talk about that now. During the inquest, it quickly became clear that the Crown thought Ronald carried out the murder, and it was premeditated. But why would Ronald want his best friend's wife dead? Well, there was two motives: love and money, which are very common motives in most murders. So shortly after Christina's death, Jack confessed to the police that he had been having, quote, an intimate relationship with Ronald for years. And then later, during the inquest, Jack said he was coerced into saying his relationship with Ronald extended beyond friendship, denying that the two men ever had a sexual relationship. But after repeated questioning, Jack finally broke down at the inquest and confirmed his earlier statement. He and Ronald were lovers. In support of this, during one of Ronald's many police statements, he admitted to, quote, being a party to unnatural sexual acts with Jack. Although he insisted the, quote, improper relations lasted only a short time and had terminated a long time ago. Locals in Severn Falls who knew both men confirmed they had a, quote, close relationship. It was witnessed during many trips to the cottage. And they said that there was lots of gossip about why Jack ever got married when he was clearly, quote, with Ronald. Even Jack's own family reportedly found the marriage surprising because of his relationship with his best friend. Most people involved in this case believe the story of Jack and Ronald's love affair to be true, which points to motive Ronald may have had to kill Christina. It's possible the jealousy and uncertainty Ronald claimed Christina was feeling about Jack's love was actually a projection of the fear he felt over losing Jack to his new bride. Perhaps Jack's love was a love that Ronald was willing to keep. And then there's money. Ronald was having money troubles, and killing Christina benefited him financially in many ways. First, just before Christina married Jack, Jack took out two $5,000 life insurance policies on himself and Christina, and Ronald was the beneficiary of both. These policies also had a, quote, double indemnity clause that stated the beneficiary would get, quote, twice the sum in case of accidental death of either spouse. This means Ronald would have raked in $260,000 in 2022 money if both Jack and Christina had died that day at the cottage. Secondly, Ronald also took out a $5,000 life insurance policy on the insurance policy on the cottage that mysteriously burned down, and this policy named Jack as his beneficiary. But it also came to light that Ronald was Jack's primary beneficiary in his will. Jack's family was left with nothing. Everyone go to Ronald if Jack died, which is crazy. So the $5,000 insurance policy would roughly equal out to about $65,000 in today's money. Thirdly, Christina's expensive wedding ring was never found. That leads people to believe that Ronald may have stolen it from the crime scene. And fourth, Ronald told the inquest Christina had been raped by five men in April 1946, who then blackmailed her about the incident. Ronald told the police he borrowed money from several friends and gave Christina $12,000 to pay the men off. Questions remained about if Ronald was expected to be paid back. The murder plot could have been his way of recouping the money he felt he was owed. So, as an aside, if this incredible story is true, then it might also explain why Jack decided to marry Christina, even if he was in love with Ronald. Perhaps he felt he had to step up in some attempt to save Christina's honor after she had been raped against her will, since it was 1947. After their affair and the details of how both men profited or would have profited from Christina's death were made public, it's suspected Ronald and Jack were in on the murder together. This may be true, but by all accounts, Jack did not have the personality for it. He actively avoided confrontation and was easily manipulated by others. Therefore, it is possible Jack was dominated by Ronald into tricking him into doing things. Actions he didn't realize were the ramifications of until it was far too late. Ultimately, citing a lack of concrete evidence, the inquest was unable to determine if Christina's death resulted from foul play. The matter was dropped, and Jack and Ronald were free to go. 3 years after Christina's death, Jack remarried. Jack never mentioned his first marriage or Christina's death to his new wife. They had a family together before separating in 1969, but the couple never officially divorced. Jack's son, Richard, married a woman named Sharon, who is an avid archivist and loved researching family history. I'm sure you can see where this is going. In 1992, she stumbled upon microfilm articles that covered Christina's unexplained death. Sharon was obviously stunned, but her and Richard never mentioned the discovery to Jack. He was in poor health and died in 1998, never knowing his secret was out. Ronald, well, oh, so close. As for Ronald, in 1956, he gifted his Pekingese dog, Ling, to Jack's then 2-year-old son, Richard. Afterwards, he moved to New York, where he abruptly vanished without a trace. And that's the last we heard of Ronald. And, yeah, that's the case. If you have any information on the unexplained death of Christina Kettlewell, please contact the Ontario Provincial Police at 1-888-310-1122 or Co Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-8477. And that is all I have for you guys today. I'm sorry about the dogs, as usual. I'm sure you guys know by now that there's always background noise in these fucking episodes. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you guys have a safe and happy rest of your week. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at NotAlwaysPolite and leave me a review wherever you're listening. I will catch you guys next time. Bye.